Il pluralismo fischandir, programma in tella minni Colin Fitz, fo Campus FM, 103.7, li jitratta snin meta f'Malta fetħu bosta stazzjonijiet tar-radju ġodda privati wara li ġie il-liberalizzat il-qasam tax-xandir f'pajjiżna. Nitkellem dwar stazzjonijiet li fetħu u issa anka għalqu jew dawk li stanew u l-bidliet li għaddew minnhom tul dawn l-aħħar 30 sena. Kif ukoll dwar prezentaturi u anka dawk in-nies li ħadmu wara l-kwinti, nies illi forsi kienu involuti fix-xandir qabel din ir-rivoluzzjoni jew li daħlu f'dan il-qasam minħabba appuntu il-pluralizmu fix-xandir u bdew il-karriera tagħhom f'dawk iż-żminijiet. Il-programm jixxandar kull nhar ta' tlieta fit-tlieta u nofs ta' wara nofsinhar b'repetizzjoni l-ħamis fl-erba' u nofs ta' wara nofsinhar. Mbagħad jittella fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM biex jinstema' bħala poddata fejn u meta tridu. Il-pluralizmu fix-xandir fuq Campus FM illum għandi mistiedna Maltija imma illi għamlet ħafna snin meta kienet żgħira tgħix il-Kanada. Għawċija propjament, mhux Maltija, imma tul dawn l-aħħar 20 sena, anzi fuq minn 20 sena, kważi 30 sena, stabbilixxiet ruħha sew fil-qasam tax-xandir f'pajjiżna, partikolarment fuq stazzjonijiet illi xandru jew il-ħin kollu jew ċertu programmi bl-Ingliż. Nirreferi għal Corinne Muscat, li fil-fatt din il-personalità ħanaqleb l-Ingliż biex inkun nista' nitkellem magħha direttament. Hello Corinne and welcome to Il Pluralismu fix-xandir on Campus FM.
Hello Colin.
Well, Corinne, I'm going to go back a few years because we've known each other now for quite some time. We've worked together on stations like XFM. But you started your career on the radio, on the old yes. Calypso radio. Is that correct?
I did, way back in the 90s, the mid-90s.
Now, yes, exactly. The old Calypso, because we're recording this program in 2022, and there exists yes. a station called Calypso Radio. It's based in Malta, and it's on 101.8, which used to be the old Island Sound frequency. But we're referring to Calypso, the original, the first Calypso Radio that was based in Gozo, and it opened in the 93, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, 93.
And it was well known for playing classic hits and 60s music overall, as far as I remember. And that is why that is why the new Calypso, when that Calypso had closed down, kind of the name Calypso was associated with old style music. And the new Calypso that opened up in the 2000s, started playing that kind of music, and it picked up on the name because the name had a connotation that was it used to play old music, and there was a big audience for that sort of music. And in fact, some of the presenters who were on old Calypso, such as Joe Cassar, went on to work on the new Calypso. Am I making sense? Is this how it happened, Corinne?
That is exactly how it happened, yes. It started off as a golden oldie station, mm-hmm. and then with time it progressed and it became more of an adult contemporary mixed with some specialized golden oldies that Joe Cassar was taking care of.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to 1993 when the station opened. Were you part of the station from the first day?
No, I started just over a year later.
Just over a year later, 94. Now, let me tell you a little story of my own. Around 94 or 95, I remember I was working at Island Sound Radio at the time. And I came to Gozo for a weekend break with my then girlfriend. And because we were in Gozo, we decided to turn the knob, to Calypso Radio, because we wanted to hear Calypso. You know, we're in Gozo, we're going to hear the Gozetan station. Up till that point, we hadn't really tuned in. And it was a Saturday morning, I remember, and we were driving around Rabat going shopping in Victoria, and this amazing voice came on the radio. And I commented to my girlfriend, I thought, we at Island Sound, sometimes we broadcast programs from the BBC World Service, but yeah. Calypso must rebroadcast programs from some American station. Because listen to this woman. She has this amazing American accent. Her voice is so beautiful. And it sounds like something on CNN or whatever. And it was you.
it was me. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet, Colin. Thank you.
Honestly, that was our reaction. I mean, it was unusual to hear somebody. And even your style, it was like something on... You know, later on we'd get people like Ellen or Oprah or whatever on American TV programs that we can now see on YouTube. And you had that nice, relaxed accent, which was actually Canadian, not American, but still it's very similar. So were you trained? Did you ever do radio programs when you were living in Canada as a youngster?
Never. Mm-hmm. I never did at all. In Canada, I was starting the very early stages of heading towards law school.
Oh.
And coming here, this was just something very different. It was a recommendation. I was recommended by a friend who said I had a good voice on the telephone, and he thought it would work well on radio. So that's how I got my start. A few voice tests later, and I was good to go. But I did have training in public speaking because I competed a lot in public speaking competitions in Canada. So for that, for diction and things like that, I had some training.
Okay. So take us back to your childhood in Canada. I mean, you're the child of Gossetan parents, right, who emigrated
my
there.
My father.
Oh, your father. Okay.
My father, yes.
Tell us a bit about your background.
He immigrated in 68 mm-hmm. when he was, I think, 17 years old, 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. And my mother comes from Maltese stock.
Okay.
My grandmother is from Hamroun. My grandfather is from Zuria, but they immigrated when they were young teenagers to Canada. Mm-hmm. And my mother was born and raised there, and so was I. She met my dad, and the rest is history.
So, and this, you were living in Toronto, I believe. Was there?
We were living in Toronto, yeah, and then
Maltese community there. Did you mix with the Maltese community?
Yes. Yes. And all of our family were there as well. So the Maltese traditions were held with the highest regard.
Okay. Is it true that there's a pastizzi shop and, you know, and people gather?
Of course, yes. Okay. Every Sunday after church at St. Paul the Apostle, the Maltese church, we'd call it, mm-hmm. Next door was the pastizzi shop. And we would go there and have a soft drink and some pastizzi after church.
Wonderful. So this was the 80s when you were growing up. And then in the early 90s, your parents decided to come back to Gozo or Malta?
We came here. We moved to Gozo in 1989, July of 89.
Mm-hmm. And
so
what would...
A good time to be on the island.
But as far as you were concerned, you were a teenager. Would you have preferred to stay there at the time? Did you come back sort of against your will? Or were you looking forward to something new and living?
No.
Tell us a bit.
We came out in 1988. My father brought the whole family over for a holiday for 3 months in the summer. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it because I had all sorts of freedoms that I did not have in Canada growing up. So I wanted to come and live in Gozo. Absolutely. At that age, I could do everything. My parents, you know, let us do everything. It was safe. We could go out. I went to clubs. You know, I went to the old Axis, to Julio, Raffles, all these kind of places legendary. And at the age of like 13, I went in with my friends and then I continued to go. It was great. I would never be allowed in Canada ever. So I wanted to move here.
I suppose you'd get the excuse to your parents that it was a sleepover with friends or whatever, and then you'd sneak out. Or not?
No, they knew. They just trusted. It was a very different time.
Oh.
Pacheville was so different, as was Gozo, was even just super quiet. And we'd make our own fun a lot of the time, you know?
And it was considered safer, I guess, than, for example, today, if you had a child today. Okay. How interesting.
A different world, Colin. It was a different world. And the best part of it all, there were no mobile phones with recording devices on them. And there are, you know, no record of anything having ever happened untoward.
Okay. So, Corinne Muscat is told by a friend around 1993, 94, you have a good voice on the telephone. Why don't you speak to the people who run Calypso Radio? And who are those people?
Yes. It was Terry Bates. He was also Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened this radio station, and he brought some people over from the UK. So, I mean, people like Steve Joy. Goodness, who else? I think Eric Roberts, his name was. Dave Roberts. There was a lot. So I got trained by some people who already had so much experience in radio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there was also Simon Lumsden, I believe, who eventually then went on to work at other stations. Wasn't he also working there?
Yes.
Yeah,
he joined a bit later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Simon is still, I think, in Malta and still involved in online stations, if I'm not mistaken. I will probably interview him at some point later on in this series.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Steve Joy, very, very nice guy and very talented as well, very good on the radio. I remember him on Calypso. And eventually he did some stuff on XFM as well. So, okay,
That's right.
Terry Bates, was he a Maltese Canadian or a complete Canadian who happened to be a business person living in Gozo?
That's right. Exactly right. I think he also owned a station in Canada or two, if I'm not mistaken. So he was back and forth, but he had a base here in Gozo.
So what was the first program that they gave you to do on the air?
The first program was mid-morning, so I had 10 till 2. And I had a show called The Love Shack.
Oh,
because of my voice, they thought it would be a good idea to have an easy mid-morning request show, and people would, call in and ask for certain love songs or easy listening songs, and it was called The Love Shack.
What was this, Monday to Friday?
This was Monday to Friday, and then sometimes I'd also be asked to do either Saturday breakfast or Saturday mid-morning.
Mm-hmm. And this was your first job?
This was my first job on the radio, yes.
But I mean, you must
Before
have been
that,
18 or 17. Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I was 19 going on 20.
Mm-hmm.
And I first started out working at Tachench Hotel as a receptionist. I was there for 3 years.
Oh, okay. But then you had to give that up because obviously working from 10 till 2 would mean working unless you were on shift at the hotel.
Oh, no, I gave it up because I was expecting my daughter.
Ah.
So I stopped for a year, had my daughter, Chanel, and then I went on to radio.
And it must have been very exciting for a 20-year-old to be employed, full-time pretty much at a radio station.
It was exciting, and we were such a great bunch of people that I got to work with. That they were incredible. Everyone was so much fun. And it opened my mind to, other pieces of the world, if you know what I mean. These guys from the UK who had a completely different way of thinking about things. And it was so nice. It really was. And they taught me a lot.
Uh-huh. Was it a problem that you were 20 and you had to play music from the 60s, possibly music that wasn't really relevant to you because you were a young person, probably following the music of the time, 80s and 90s?
It was an educational
experience.
Journey. It was an educational journey, and it taught me a lot about music. So I really appreciate that time in my life. Also, I grew up listening to the Golden Oldies because of my father, who's still a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
It was not totally unfamiliar to me, but I learned so much working on a station like that from the beginning. I'm really grateful for that.
Where was the station based?
The station was based in Victoria Gozo on Republic Street, or Fortunato Mizzi Street, I think that part is called, just in front of the girls' school.
Oh, the one with the three, with the sculpture of the three hills. Became a sixth form, I believe.
Yes, just there on that road. Yeah.
Wasn't it above a bakery? It used to be a discotheque in the old days, in the 70s.
It used to be a discotheque. I don't think it was called Crystal Palace, was it, the discotheque? Or Pearl something.
Or Tower?
But it was something like that. But it was on top of what was then Tower Bakery.
Tower Bakery. Uh-huh. I remember I myself came to work at that station a bit later on in the late 90s for a short while. And I remember
it was fun.
Little mice sort of roaming around from the bakery.
Oh, yes. We were constantly catching the mice. I remember a lot of us would kind of get together and figure out how we're going to get them, because they kind of make their home in the soffit ceiling and the drop ceiling.
Yeah.
it was fun times.
I'm not saying the bakery was unhygienic, but, you know, you, where there's wheat and things, I mean, there's going to be some sort of pests. And some of them would escape, and then I'd run up to the radio station upstairs.
Yes. I believe sometimes, you know, they would play with our wires a bit up there as well, with the wiring. So we had to rid them. We had to get rid of them. It wasn't acceptable in a radio station.
Now, some of the stations that opened up between 91 and 93 had completely manual systems, and then eventually they, like the late 90s and early 2000s, they switched to computers, and that's how we operate today, completely with computers. But I remember Calypso was well known as being one of the first stations in Malta to have a computer system.
Yes. Yes, we did. We had a computer system. There was CD players, I remember.
There was a whole rack, DXT wasn't there?
Machines,
like a wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had lots of CDs in it, but the computer would control sort of which CD would play rather than you putting it in physically.
That's right. We had a programs controller to make sure that all the adverts went in. Mm-hmm. That all the music was assigned, so you would have something, let's say, from the 60s, and then followed by something from the 80s, going back to the 70s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would pick and choose from the, do you remember the wall of CD players?
Yeah. It was like a big wardrobe.
I believe that each player had about, was it 10 discs or 5 discs?
Yes, like a multiplayer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And
it was
so
great.
Yeah, and there were about 10 of them, so you'd have sort of 100 CDs with I don't know, 20 or 30 tracks or 25 tracks on each. So quite a big selection of varied music. And then you could still play something off a normal CD player or off even
That's
a cassette.
Right, yeah.
There was all the equipment, but the primitive computer system, and as you say, the computer was programmed to choose a playlist that was first the 60s, and then or there was a 60s triple play, and then a 70s song, and then an 80s song, and then back to the 60s, and it was quite an advanced system for its time. The first few years with Terry Bate and the British presenters that you mentioned, and Joe Kassar on in the evenings after 6?
Joe Kassar was on every evening, and on the weekends, the Jukebox Saturday Night was a huge show at the time.
Yes.
People loved that show,
yes.
Jukebox Saturday Night.
Even here in Malta, I remember people of a certain age, like people in their 40s and 50s, they loved that show.
Yes.
In fact, it influenced my decision eventually when I left Island Sound to consider coming to work in Gozo for a while for Calypso, because it wasn't quite a high, thanks to being the only station practically offering a selection of old golden oldies, but in a cool way.
That's right. Yeah.
But was it popular amongst Gozotans, or was the audience more in Malta? And I remember something about the station kind of suffering because it needed advertisements from Malta, but it was based in Gozo, so you couldn't have, you know, you needed your salespeople to be in Malta to sell adverts because it wasn't getting so many ads from Gozotan companies.
That's right, because they didn't really need the advertising. Not all of them did need the advertising.
Mm.
We did get a lot of advertising from Gozotan companies, but there was a lot from Maltese companies as well. It was a different time, you know. I think even now, the advertising is always more Malta-based than Gozo-based. I think Gozo's small enough sometimes that they feel they don't need to advertise.
Mm, mm, mm.
It's a different world completely.
Mm-hmm.
Literalmente en Bahar Yatsam.
As we say. Of course, because for the benefit of our listeners, you speak Maltese, Corinne, and you speak it with the Gozotan accent. But I think you're freer to speak in English. But titkellem bil-Malti,
I am. Nitkellem da shame bil-Malti, Eva.
So what happened after the first few years you had established yourself? Oh, before we go on to that, actually, what was the reaction? Did you start to build a fan base? did you have people, you know, maybe as a female, did you even have stalkers, you know, a female with an attractive voice?
Yeah.
I mean, there weren't that many female presenters at the time. I don't think there are today, let alone in those days.
No, I believe it was just me and Jackie Storer.
Okay, on Island Sound,
You know, may she rest in peace. She's no longer with us.
And, of course, people on PBS, you know, but they were mostly journalists, newsreaders. Not so many. There were a couple of female DJs as well on Radio Malta, but I'm not sure in the 90s how many female voices there were on air, apart from you, as you said, Jackie, and for a short while there was another lady on Island Sound. There was Maria Panzavecchia, and there was Andrea Fay. But anyway, so...
That's right, Andrea Fay. I remember Andrea Fay as well.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Corinne Muscat is on the radio, and what was the feedback?
I had great feedback always, and I feel so grateful for that, because it encouraged me to continue down this path, down the radio path. And I did have stalkers, and they were sometimes pretty serious stalkers where the police had to get involved.
Really?
And yeah, it was a different time. But
that sounds
serious. It was always a lot of fun.
Okay, fun, yeah. But I mean, apart from, I don't think getting the police involved because of stalkers.
No,
that part
that
wasn't
scary.
Fun. Yeah.
Especially when at some point I was doing breakfast. So I had a very early start. We had a young baby daughter, and my husband would drop me off for work, and people would be watching me, and they'd say, oh, you didn't look so happy when your husband dropped you off this morning. What's wrong? I'm going to bring you a present. And so we had to, like, get people involved to stop this from happening.
Oh, my goodness. Of course, it was a new phenomenon.
During the show.
Yeah, I mean, people maybe didn't know so much about boundaries in those days. Goodness me. Goodness.
The thin line.
Okay, so the first couple of years probably went well, and then I remember the station changed hands, or the management. I mean, Terry Waite, the Canadian owner.
Terry Bates.
He was not involved anymore, and then I remember Ray Bayada.
The changes, everything was a bit more open, I think, and relaxed, and we went from being this golden oldie station to a station that got to play some of the biggest classic hits in rock and adult contemporary music, soft rock. And, you know, what was fun about being under Ray Bayada's management was the fact that he tried to make it as fun as possible for us. And we would DJ in places like Jampula and DJ with proper vinyl, which back then CDs were so big that working with vinyl was something out of this world for me. I'd never done it. In fact, it was you who taught me. You taught me how to use the record players in the DJ booth at Jampula.
Oh, goodness, that's an old memory. That's a nice memory. Thank you. I had forgotten about that.
But it's so nice, because I'll never forget that. Colin taught me how to use a record player.
Oh, sweet. Ray Bayada was very imaginative. He would negotiate outside broadcasts. I remember one particular party at Jampula. I think probably the first one was the best one, where he attracted a couple of thousand people to a Calypso party. And it was
amazing.
At Jampula, before Jampula became the huge sort of village it is today. But nevertheless, a lot of people attended. We had a huge party, and the Calypso name was really popular for a short while. Joe Tanti had joined us, and I was on board as well. I used to come to Gozo. I think Joe Tanti came to live in Gozo, like he's doing. He lives now as well. While I used to commute, I used to come to Gozo every morning on the ferry, probably the only Maltese going the other way, as all the Gozotans were coming.
That's right.
Coming to Malta.
You'd come over very early, like 5:30 a.m., I remember.
Yeah.
But they were fun times.
Yes.
And we were very lucky to be on radio back then. It was so different. And we had do you remember Ray Bayada would have a rule? And it was, as long as you do all your work and you don't leave anything unfinished, you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah.
But you have to do all your work. So if there was production work to be done, programming work to be done, script writing, news writing, we would get it all done.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were finished a couple of hours before our 8 hours were up, he didn't care. It was as long as you don't leave anything undone.
Yes,
there were days where to make up for it even, we'd be super busy and we'd stay overtime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It all kind of balanced itself out, but he was very flexible with us. And I think it makes your employees so productive.
Yes.
When you can run a company that way.
It was very forward-looking almost like these kind of attitudes are very common today, but they weren't so common at the time. It was much more rigid. So that attitude Absolutely. Was very forward-looking. Yeah. Also, Ray, to his credit, was also very aware of the rise of the Internet, and he started introducing suggesting we use this website for information and this website for music. And I think he was in collaboration with people like Tony Sant, who was also at the forefront of realizing the potential of the Internet.
Oh, yes.
And how it could be sort of used in broadcasting. So
we would get little conferences, little meetings.
Yeah.
Tony Sant as a consultant.
Yes.
He would come in and inform us a lot of new things that were happening with the Internet. And
yes. This was 1997, I think, and 98, which is the period I was there. What happened? When did you finish your association with Gotthard and Calypso?
I believe it was the early 2000s. It was like 2001, 2002. Because then the following year, 2003, I had joined a new XFM. Which was a new station.
Yes, and I believe the old Calypso actually closed down for good in early 2003 or 2002 after a period where they had two studios. They had the main studio in Gozo, and they had rented a property in Malta where they used to broadcast from Bay Street, but on the same frequency. So it was Calypso Gozo, but some of the programs, including Joe Tanti, and I had rejoined by that time. And there was a fellow called Nick Gatcolero as well. And we would broadcast from Bay Street, from the Bay Street Hotel, I remember.
That was so cool. Never been done before in Malta, that we had broadcasting abilities from both islands like that on one station.
Yes.
It was so forward thinking well, you know?
Absolutely. Fantastic memories. So that was Calypso, the Gotthard and Calypso. What I didn't ask you earlier on is, do you know why Terry Bates did not continue and sort of gave it over to a Gotthard and business family? I believe the people who owned Calypso Radio, Calypso Hotel at the time, owned the frequency and the station, and then Ray Bayada got involved as a manager. But why did Terry Bates not continue? It was his brainchild, his baby.
I think he just likes starting projects, seeing where they go. He sticks with them for a few years and then moves on to something else. And I think maybe he was starting to base himself more in Canada again, and Gozo would be more of a holiday place for him and his family. I think that was the reason. I'm not totally 100% clear what happened.
And then we said that by 2003, you joined XFM in Malta. But we're going to stop there, Corinne, because I'm going to invite you on another show, and we can do another bit of chat, this time about your career since the early 2000s. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Thank you so much for asking me to do this. I'm really honored.
A pleasure. So I'm going to switch back to Maltese. Mela Corinne Muscat il Shadara Awċija min li għandha konnessjoni mal-Kanada naturalment kif smajtu u kelmitna llum dwar l-ewwel ftit snin tal-karriera tagħha mal-istazzjon Calypso l-antik, Calypso li kien ta' Għawdex fuq il-frekwenza 102.3, 102.3, wasn't it, Corinne?
It was. First it was Calypso Radio, and then with a few years later after I started, they changed it to modernize it to Calypso 102.
Calypso 102. Yeah, we'd say Calypso 102, even though it was 102.3, because it sounded cooler to say 102. And if you were twiddling the knob at 102, you're bound to find it, I remember.
For sure.
I remember the logo in Ray Bayada's time was a sun. It was all
It was a sun. You know, there's still some of those stickers around.
Projecting a sort of positive image. wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Calypso. And it was based, as you said, above Tower Bakery, which is no longer there, just before you start the hill up to Victoria Gozzo. Well, nice right. memories, and we mentioned some names as well that I'm sure our listeners will remember from that radio station that has now passed on. It lasted 10 years. And next week we'll continue talking to Corinne Muscat. What il programm il-pluralizmu fi xandir fuq Campus FM jina kollin fit snajdilkom saħħa tilsawx dal-programm jitella wkoll fuq is-sit elettroniku ta' Campus FM.